The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening today. Today is Monday, February the 1st, 2016. We have a live show for you today. Looking forward to this show that we're going to bring to you today. Hopefully everyone had some good time off and spent it with friends and family. But let's get into what's going on. First of all, before we start, of course, always, everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network and all of the programs that are on Black Talk Radio Network. So important at this time. Make monetary donations. Make a donation if you possibly can. And that would definitely help go a long way to the overall expansion and the development and the growth of this network, which you participate in and you gain from daily. So please. Make monetary donations and also donate your professional services or your time or whatever it is that you can to assist Black Talk Radio Network, have events and then in your local community and or even just have events, have some friends over, let Black Talk Radio Network that you're gonna have, you know, some friends over and you know, kind of coordinate and see what the shows are gonna be about that day, and then you all can call in at one time. That would be great. We really need to start to really start talking on a community base throughout this whole country and throughout the whole world. And it needs to really start with you. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You just get on board, okay? It's so, so important that we do that. So everyone, kind of schedule something where you can get other people, maybe even people that never heard Black Talk Radio Network, like a book club or something. Just come together and then reach out and do whatever you can, and we can grow this thing so that we can actually fortify the things that we need and actually gain the things that we need based off of our own input and our own labor and our own energy and our own direction. So, so important that we do. We need to really stop begging those that have been historically malevolent towards our agenda to us to no longer to consider what they think about us. So important. So tell your friends, tell your family members about Black Talk Radio Network. Spread the word so that this network can continue to grow and do the things that it should do. Also, go to Tando Radio Show on Facebook, T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show on Facebook, and check out what we have posted there. And also, while you're there, stop, give us a like, send a comment if you like. We'd love to hear from you what you think or in. It's very, very important to us, okay? So but this is pretty soon I got to get with Scotty a little bit later, and so we can just primarily just post out Black Talk Radio Network, because that's where we really need to be. We really need to get off of Facebook. It's convenient, but it's really time for us to collectively use our own system. Hold on 1 second. You know what, Scotty? Let's run the video because someone's at the door, and then I'll be right back. I'll start it. Well, everyone, we'll do the. I'm gonna run the video real quick because I gotta answer this door real quick, and will come back to...
They're looking at you as a cog in the wheel, in the machine.
Yeah.
You're being trained, not educated. This is shocking, and I've not said this publicly until this minute.
This is Lugardowski of We Are Kane Zarg. I'm here with Charlotte Isabee, who's an American whistleblower who worked for the U.S. Department of Education. Now, Charlotte, can you tell us specifically what was your position and what did you uncover in the U.S. Department of Education?
Well, my position was very, very important, although I did not have the credentials for it. I just, the hand of God put me into the Office of Educational Research and Improvement as Senior Policy Advisor.
And what year was this?
In 1981.
So this was Reagan?
Under Reagan. Now I just happened to get plopped into that slot that ordinarily in the past would have been held by the former president of Harvard or Stanford or...
Okay, everyone, I'm back real quick. And let me just set the premise for the show. Sorry about that. I had to answer the door because I've been waiting.
Not educated. Time. This is shocking.
It's a very important thing. So, everyone, let me get back. Okay, here we go. So, on Tango Radio Show, on Facebook, we have our postings there. Let's take a look at those postings, and we'll get right back to what it is that you were hearing. That's going to be the emphasis of the show. Very, very important show. But let's go through what's going on. What's in the news? So this post is sent, this was Saturday, post or Sunday posted, the Zika virus, where it really came from and where the patent comes from. And the patent actually comes from the Rockefeller Foundation, of course. This virus known as Zika has been around since 1947 out of Uganda, out of the, I think it was the Zika River or... Yes, I believe it's the Zika River that's there, where this comes from. So, no surprise there. It tells you everything. This is another bio attack on humanity. And I'm going to tell you, this one is very significant from this standpoint because of who is targeting. It's a depopulation program or a program where the people that will be adversely affected by it will actually not be able to know that they're slaves. That's the whole agenda. We talked about this so many times on Tando here, that the real target is not you, is not it's not your friend, is not your father, your mother, it's your children, and more importantly, their children and their children's children. That's who the real target is, because these people and these programs set agendas 300 years in advance at minimum. And that's who they're really targeting here. And I want you to really think about this, and we'll go through some of this a little later on as this thing continues to spread. Next we have, there was an earthquake warning for everyone on the West Coast and on the specific side of the Ring of Fire. Be extremely cautious and know that yesterday there was a lot of instability, seismic activity throughout the Ring of Fire. So posted, my man Dutch Sense puts out some great information there. So if you're on the West Coast, you definitely want to know. And also, if you're on the anywhere in seismic area in the country, because just because California may have a foreshock, that may cause a slippage in somewhere else in the country, in Oklahoma, in the West East Coast, along the Mississippi, the Magic. So just be very, very aware of that so that you know, because these things definitely foretell what's coming. And my man Dutch Sense has a great video there, and he does some fantastic, fantastic work. Check that out. Next, we have Bloomberg. It brings on the cashless future. This comes from Bloomberg. We'll definitely talk about this tomorrow, but I wanted to lay out today's show. But this is another article you need to know, and this would be good for those of you want to get a heads up on what tomorrow's show will be. It will be about capital controls and the cashless societies and how this thing is really growing. Then there's another article there on cashless societies. Check out that one also. Next we have something I call a blast from the past to save you, because I like to look at news from years and years ago and see what the finance, especially in the financial world, to see what they were saying. And this article is really good because it tells you just before, this was in June of 2009, what they were saying before the Lehman moment in September of 2009, 2 months earlier. And now is much, much bigger. So it tells you everything. And this is what I like to call the seasonal warning. You know, when I was in Alaska, what happens in Alaska before the summer turns into fall, or the fall turns into winter, you will start to see a lot of red foliage and leaves and a lot of red all over the place in Alaska, because that is the plants warning that winter is coming and that you need to prepare for winter. You know, there is, you know, the great creator God Almighty always gives us signs before things happen, gives us indications before things happen. And just like in nature, these are red signs, and this is what Tando Radio Show is all about. We've moved from green to red in waiting for the economic winter that is already here, has already started. But the real weather and the real inclement weather and the one that you need to really be concerned about is only starting to really take shape. So it's just like in Alaska when the leaves and the foliage will turn red as giving warning as to the harsh winter that's coming. There are economic indicators saying that there is a harsh economy and a harsh disembowelment of your economic system that is about to happen. They are totally going to gut our known financial way of life, because that's what the agenda is all about. So check out that one, a real good one from 2008. June 2009 and June of 2009. Read between the signs, between the lines there, and you can see a lot. But we'll talk about that tomorrow also. Next we have, this comes from Wall Street Journal. We'll talk about this tomorrow too. Currency war. U.S. hedge funds mount new attack on the Chinese yuan. And what they're doing, Ken Bass, a bunch of Soros, a bunch of other hedge fund managers are shorting the Chinese yuan. And believe me, China is well aware of it. It's all a part of the whole game. And they're shorting it, saying that it's going to go down. And so this is some of the economic indicators. And we'll talk about that one also tomorrow. All in play. Really good one. Next we have my man, Brother Bragg, sent this. What you can lose when you sign that organ donor's card. Shocking. This comes from worldtruth.tv. Check out that article. Really good one. Next, we have the Smoke Sputnik News, willy-nilly partnership. What's the hidden aim of Biden's trip to Turkey? And this was just done the other day. This was just done on Thursday, and you can see them there. And then on Friday, Turkey had announced that Russia has once again had intruded on their airspace. And now that they're, you know, Turkey is doing everything to get this global war started really hot. And It's you know, from shelling reports, Russia is saying now that Turkey is shelling civilian Syrians inside of Syria and assisting the groups that are there to destabilize Syria, known as IS-IS, is what I like to call it, IS-IS. So check out this article, really good, tells you everything. As soon as the meeting happens, then within hours, they have another incident with Russia, and that incident has now turned to where Turkey's Air Force is now on condition orange, which means that they don't even have to ask for authorization or permission to shoot on Russian planes that they see, or fighters or bombers or any military planes that they see from Russia that are intruding on Syrian's airspace, or what they consider Syrian's airspace. And the only thing above condition orange is condition red, which is when you're in an actual state of war. And believe me, the next time that this happens, if it happens, it will definitely move to that. And the price of oil will shoot up immediately. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Next, the U.S. will sign Pacific trade deal off of February the 4th in Auckland, Australia. And the thing about this, you know, I tell you, the truth is stranger than fiction. They're going to sign, the administration, who you call President Obama, is going to sign the Pacific, the Trans-Pacific Partnership inside of a casino in Australia. They tell you everything. And this is why you need to protect yourself. And those people that don't want to protect themselves, that's fine. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people don't believe until they won't look at the truth until the truth adversely affects them. I'm sorry, it's going to be in New Zealand, not Australia, excuse me. It's going to be in New Zealand. So, you know, but you make way and you get prepared. This is why we have the membership program, and we will have our second class for those that have already signed up tonight, 1 hour after Tando Radio Show at 9 Eastern Pacific, Eastern Standard Time. And anyone else that would like to get in on the membership training, which will include the precious metals, preparedness, the tactical, all of that. It's a monthly fee of $25. And you can just email me at wolf6pack1@gmail.com, or you can text me 951-790-8330, and I will get you all of the information and get you into a class. Tomorrow's class is going to be for some people that have already taken the precious metals class, but are extending their overall membership into the preparedness side of it. So that'll be on tomorrow, Tuesday, but we'll have a class on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So plenty of room for you to sign up still. And if you'd like to get involved, definitely. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Just contact me. So this is a hint as to what's going on in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Is nothing more than the admission that corporations run the world and you lose your sovereignty. And they're going to be bold and in your face about things very, very soon. Next, more than 2,000 pregnant women, which is now over 2,200 pregnant women infected with Zika in Colombia. Now, we'll talk about this. Who has come out with a saying that is a global emergency now with this? But the thing about this is that this is targeting the young people as babies. This is targeting the future. And this is also now, it's also threatening the Olympics, the Summer Olympics that was going to be is supposed to be held this summer in Brazil. And the thing about this is that women in childbearing ages, if they get bit with this, this could be put into the system. There's a lot of stuff you need to find out about this, and it can cause your child to have these birth defects. With the shrinking of the brain and so many other things. So check this out. There's something that you need to be aware of, and this is quite different than anything else because this is a direct attack on the future. And we're going to talk about this sometime this week and I'm going to give you my opinion. I've always said they don't care about you. They care about your children and your children's children and the generations behind them. They want to move them into a position where they can't have a free will. That's the overall agenda here. So, you know, it's amazing. You know, we only use, they say, 10% of our brain now, and now they're trying to even shrink that even more. And this, so the only thing that we will possibly be is the perfect slave. So that's what you need to know. Next, we have Puerto Rico seeks huge debt cut and creditors insurers skeptical. There's no way in the world that they're going to take what Puerto Rico had offered in haircuts for their creditors. They got Puerto Rico in debt so that they can take over Puerto Rico and take all of its natural resources and its capabilities and its intrinsic value. So this is what they always do. They get you in debt so that they can steal and take from you what it is that you have of value. They don't care about, this is why they don't care about cash. They create it. They create it digitally. They create it from printing, they create it from fictitious coupons, whatever they create that from a facade. And what they do is that they force you into labor to create something that is real through your energy, and then they sell it back to you. There's nothing more than a glorified sharecropping agreement in which we really live in. So just an extension of that, you need to know this because this is tied into directly into U.S. pension funds. And it's amazing with this whole thing. I'd like to know where Puerto Rico is supposed to get the difference of what they're supposed to make up for this deal that they've offered. But not only that, there's no way in the world I believe that the creditors will take this because they don't want Puerto Rico to make payment. They want Puerto Rico to default. That's the agenda, and they've done that quite well and positioned themselves to do it in the exact same way that they position you to go into default. If you don't know, and you need to know, and this is why we have the membership training that you should all be a part of. So today's live show is going to be the move to enslave our future by way of smartphones and Common Core schooling, the dumbing down agenda being waged against our children. Our children are under major, major attack in so many ways. This is why, right now with the movement of this virus, which is not new, it's actually been created by man. That's why man can put a patent on it. If you ever notice, there is no patent for oil. There is no patent for water. There is no patent for air because man didn't create it. But what they do create, they patent so that they can profit from it. So today's show is very, very important, and we heard a little bit of it. Now, what I want to say is that this is Charlotte Isbury. Isbury. Very, very well known within a lot of the fields. She worked for the Department of Education and actually started to whistleblow on what Common Core and what the overall agenda is for our children. Very, very important. So we're going to play this 8-minute video real quick. And this is from wearechange.org. Very, very important. Listen to what she's saying. Now you can start to put things together to see what's really going on. And then when we come back, we'll play the other part of it. It's a longer video. I'm not going to play the whole thing, probably about 35, 40 minutes of it. But it's very, very telling what she is actually disclosing for you the parents, and for people that, even if you're not parents, because the overall agenda is to deliberately dumb down this whole society so that you won't live to your full potential, so that you will only be an asset and a contributor to someone else and not to live your life fully. They don't want you to think. They just want you to obey. Huge, huge difference. So we're going to go to this video real quick, and then after the 8-minute video, we'll jump out, go to a commercial break, and come back with the longer one. Here we go.
Educated. This is shocking, and I've not said this publicly until this minute.
This is Luke Radowski of WeAreChange.org, and I am here with Charlotte Isbury, who's an American whistleblower who worked for the U.S. Department of Education. Now, Charlotte, can you tell us specifically, what was your position and what did you uncover in the U.S. Department of Education?
Well, my position was very, very important, although I did not have the credentials for it. I just, the hand of God put me into the Office of Educational Research and Improvement as Senior Policy Advisor.
And what year was this?
In 1981.
So this was Reagan?
Under Reagan. Now I just happened to get plopped into that slot that ordinarily in the past would have been held by the former president of Harvard or Stanford or Columbia, whatever. And so I had access to all the old plans and the new, all of which were geared towards limited learning for lifelong labor, basically, which is what we're looking at today through school choice, tax-funded school choice. That's putting it in a nutshell. It's been the plan ever since the late 1890s.
So it's deliberately lowering the educational system so we would have a dumbed-down public. Why would they do this?
Well,
what's your rationale for this?
Well, because they want workers. They want worker bees. They don't want intelligent people, you know, who will, if you know what's going on, you might want to do something about it. Yeah. They don't want individualists. They want collectivists. They want people that can be dictated to, moved around on the slavery, basically. Yeah. It is definitely the plan, and it will put all of us worldwide under the umbrella of the, they'll call it school district, lifelong, with all the services, health services, transportation, take grandma to see the leaves in the autumn, workforce training, leisure, arts and all will be under the umbrella of the school district, the community school, they call it. This is not new. It's been planned ever since the beginning of the last century, funded by the Mott Foundation. Now all the other foundations are into it too. Now, this is the long-term plan that very little people know about. You can see one block of it, parents know, with school-based clinics. Yeah. That gives you a good idea.
Now, if I could ask you, when you were in the Department of Education, what was the biggest piece of evidence you found proving everything that you're talking about now?
Well, when Ronald Reagan, private sector initiative. The White House private sector initiative. I went over there and I said, what are you doing? Looks like you're merging the public and private sector. And I said, isn't that corporate fascism? And they said, I don't think anybody looks at it that way. Well, that was it. Yeah. That was under Reagan, the system broke. Dude. That was Cap Weinberger, Mad Meese. Together, they decided to change America. The same thing Carnegie Corporation called for in 1934. Yeah. And we can trace it all the way through to right now. Mark Tucker, the school-to-work agenda, and the school choice agenda. Without it, they cannot put this in. Because they need every single heartbeat on this planet.
So you're telling me the Carnegie Foundation and the other elites are involved in influencing our U.S. Educational system in order to dumb us down. Now, the Carnegie Foundation is known to many people outside who don't know of many things as this great organization that helps and does everything else. But what is the true agenda of these elites and people like the Carnegie families
right
and the Rockefeller families?
Right from the beginning. They have really... You can go all the way back to the 1700s, you know, with Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati and then Karl Marx in 1848 with the copied Weishaupt's work. And then you go to the Order at Yale, too. I have the document out of Phi Delta Kappa, how they would change education to performance-based. Now, they couldn't get away with that with the white community. The good, you know, our schools, the whites would have all said, go away. But they knew they could use the minorities, so they did. And they started that with Mastery Learning in Chicago. And half of the inner city kids in the freshman class dropped out. And even Education Week said, which is a professional journal, they called it a human tragedy of enormous proportions. But that didn't stop them from using this non-competitive individual education plan, Skinnerian, dumbed-down curriculum, because they had to perfect it over a period of 30 years with the minorities in order to move it to all of us, which is what they're putting in all the schools now. James Block, one of the leading honchos in the Mastery Learning Skinner direct instruction movement, he said, I don't know of a single inner city school that has not experimented with mastery learning. That's the thing that took all the Chicago kids down. They had to have an excuse to break the system down and to change it. And they used, you know, integration first, and then Bloom's Chicago Mastery Learning. And if it had been a disaster, why did they continue using it in every inner city school? And where they had evaluation of the Skinner method in the inner city, it would say the kids may not have learned to read better, but we did do a lot of restructuring in the school system, which was what they were looking for. They couldn't have cared less about the minorities going down the tubes. Zero.
My last question is,
going through the whole educational system, what's one important thing that was taken away and replaced with that you think is most detrimental to the learning of our youth?
Individualism. The importance of the individual. And thinking. And I think that basically was it. Everything, it was more cooperative learning. The whole plan was a collectivist education system. A friend of mine, brilliant Australian, she was at a conference of community educators in the 70s, and all these guys and gals, and it was on community education. We killed it in Maine in the 70s, which is this lifelong learning stuff under the umbrella of school. Lifelong, I mean, unbelievable. So one of the educators says to the guy, "What is this you're talking about, community ed?" And he said, "It's a Chinese communist system." No more comment, huh?
Charlotte Isby, the links to your website are in the description. It's an honor and pleasure being able to talk to you.
Thank you
so much for all your brave work.
Well,
appreciate it.
Okay, everyone, give me a go to a commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to play the longer version of not this interview, but of an interview just with Charlotte, because there are some very, very important things that she just was able to find out from being inside the administration part of the Department of Education and what the real agenda with the schools were. And I'm going to tell you what they were. They were smartphones to make dumb people. It was Common Core to deliberately dumb down our youth. And this is what they've been doing, and this is what's going on. And it is a very malevolent plan that encompasses, and it starts at the heart within our community and spreads out. But it's so important. This is why one of the things that so hurt us was when we walked away from what we had and integrated into a system because we thought that they had something better, and we didn't establish and maintain our own culture and our own intrinsic value where we were, and establish everything from there, and only allow what we put in to be propagated and to be groomed within our young people. It's not their fault. It was their attempt, but it was our fault for falling for it. You're listening to the Tando Radio Show. You may go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll play the other portion of the video for today. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032#, and hit *61. Looking forward to today's show. So with that being said, we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is *549032#, *549032#. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back today in the Tando Radio Show.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. Just want to thank you all for listening today, and today's show is about what the agenda was to actually destabilize our talent and destabilize the people's ability to be free and independent and be self-determining. This is the schooling process that we have, and today, very, very important show. I'll post these videos inside of Tando later on today. Very important. So we're going to go to, we want to hurry up, jump into this so that we can talk about this on the other side. Scotty, we're ready to play it. If you are, this is going to be Charlotte.
Tonight, on History, So It Doesn't Repeat, we discuss the past, present, and future of public schooling with Charlotte Iserby, former senior policy advisor for the U.S. Department of Education. We'll discover the root cause of the deliberate dumbing down of Americans. Learning's the answer. What's the question? It's all coming up next on History, So It Doesn't Repeat.
Good evening and welcome back to History, So It Doesn't Repeat. I'm your host and navigator, Richard Grove, and this episode is composed to provide you with an explicit understanding of how and why America is being deliberately dumbed down, and what we can do about it, one mind at a time. Tonight's guest is Charlotte Thompson Iserby, who served as a senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement of the United States Department of Education during the first Reagan administration. There, Charlotte witnessed a horrifying landscape of public schooling, specifically its focus to change the attitudes, values, beliefs, and reactions of students, noting that the school system was not about education of individuals, but rather a system of brainwashing individuals away from self-reliance. That is where she first blew the whistle on a major technology initiative which would control the curriculum in America's classrooms. She's here tonight to share her lifetime of experience, concentrating on some very substantial and meaningful points of focus. Charlotte, if you'd like to start off by, just letting the audience know why you do what you do.
There are a lot of people who ask me that, including my own family, members of my own family. I think that many of us researchers out there who have been doing this for at least 50, 60 years, some of us, I started in the mid-70s, early 70s, but there's some that are absolutely brilliant, still working, who were involved in the 60s in it. And, you know, once you find it out, Richard, that they really have, their motives are really evil. When they show you in their own research, when you find these things out, there's nothing you can do except to keep moving, because we're human beings. And we have a soul, and we have character, and we have a mind, fine minds, and we're made to do something with our lives. We're not made to be controlled. And I could just mention one document that has bothered me for many years. I found it actually in the early 70s, and it was before I knew anything about B.F. Skinner or Pavlov or William Spady or any of these people or outcomes-based education. And it was a grant that was given by the U.S. Office of Ed in 1968 to the Chicago and inner city school in Chicago. And Professor Benjamin Bloom, his wife, Sophie, was involved in it. And by the way, he's very important in all of our research because he is the leading behavioral psychologist. He died about 10 years ago, but all of the outcomes-based ed materials and mastery learning and the Skinner method, really Bloom pretty much put it all together. And his quote is enough to upset anybody who knows anything about what's going on in the schools. He said, "The purpose of education is to change the thoughts, actions, and feelings of students and define good teaching as challenging the students' fixed beliefs." Now, that is the number one guy that all teachers have to go through, Bloom's taxonomy, values and cognitive area. So this particular grant to the Chicago inner city school called for, I have it, it's on my son's website, and didn't know at the time I got a hold of it just how important it was going to be, because it's going in right now. The final nail is in the coffin. It's going in under Common Core. It's going in getting rid of grades, no more K through 12, no more competition. You can graduate at 14 or 21. And Pavlov, Skinner, going in right now. That's the plan. That's the Soviet system, actually. But when I looked at this being used on the inner city kids, which actually, after 12 years of it, Education Week, the premier journal on education, referred to it as a human tragedy of enormous proportions. Half of the inner city kids dropped out. Where are they now? But I didn't know when I saw it. I didn't realize that this was going to be the result. But this one piece of paper, it had three columns. And one said input. And then it had the middle column was curriculum. And then the third column was output. And it had, then you had 1, 2, 3 going down the page. Students, then teachers, and then, Richard, you asked me why. I got going, community. I knew then this is lifelong. So they take the students, the poor teachers who've been suffering for many, many years with all this in-service training, trying to, you know, absolutely destroy their minds and their values, and the community. And you give them the curriculum, so-called, the resources, and then they come out in the third column. Each one of them says desired characteristics. Now, as I say, if everybody had to say goodbye, Richard, you know, I've heard enough today. I think I understand. I would say, yes, you do. That is the purpose of American education. It has nothing to do with academics. So I saw that and I started following it. And I went to some in-service training when William Spady was there, and I wrote up this stuff. And of course, let me point out that before going into the Department of Ed, I was a local school board member too. And I'd gone up against all these people. I understood what change agents were in the 70s. I didn't know when I came back from overseas in 1971 and I decided to run for school board. I had no idea what I was going to run into. But I was shocked, you know, when we were meant to be putting together a philosophy for the schools. Our major change agent out of Harvard, superintendent, asked all of us, said, now, what do you think the schools should do? And so we all had to write down. I thought that they should teach strong academics and help these students have strong morals and values. And everybody jumped on me. Not everybody. Half the people on this little council said, whose values? Huh? And I thought, I've been out of the country 20 years. I didn't know that we had changed. And I began to question that. And I questioned a lot on the board. And I was very unpopular because Camden, Maine is probably one of the most liberal, beautiful, of course, the liberals always love beautiful towns on the water, in the country. I think we were a pilot for change, definitely. We were. And I saw it. And then a teacher, the reason I'm talking about this is that when I got into the department, before I got in the department, I found that Chicago plan. But while I was on the board, a teacher called me, a master teacher, and she said, I agree with, you know, everything you're doing. Good for you. I was really taking bricks. I mean, everybody throwing everything they could at me. The media hated me. Every week I'd have a bad picture in the paper. She hates children, all this stuff, because I was voting against values clarification, decision making, all this stuff. And she said, you're right on. She said, I want you to go for training. I'll pay. And I said, what is it? And she said, well, it's called Innovations in Education. And I said, I guess that's what I'm looking at here on the board. And she said, it sure is, but I want you to understand what it's all about and where it's coming from. So I went, and she paid $100 for me to go. And I was, we got a big book, this big, huge, about 200 pages. It was called Innovations in Education, A Change Agent's Guide, by Ronald Havelock out of the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, which subsequently, when I got into the Department of Ed in 1981, We were still funding it, my office. You know, so I went, and they had this facilitator there, and he trained us, a lot of nice teachers from my own school district and everything, all good people, in how to identify the resistors in our community. And you ask me what got me going to, that was it. Because I've been in communist countries. I had been, had conversations in third class on a freighter coming back from the Far East with people who are getting out. You know, one lovely woman, she was Chinese, taking her daughter to Paris to study piano. And she told me about her grandfather during the Cultural Revolution, had his hands cut off, piano. And then the woman with her grandfather was the head of a town in North Vietnam. And he opposed the regime, and they killed him, and they took his head and marched it around town on a pole. You know, so Charlotte was, I was learning. This was before I came back to the United States. So I knew a little bit about the fact that communism was something we have to be very concerned about, no matter whether they tell you it's dead or not. It's not. It will never be dead. It will be alive long after I'm dead, and long after you're dead, and long after every single grandchild of the audience out there is dead. And it's very, very dangerous. And I've stuck with this. And people can call it, they want to call it corporate fascism or socialism, or they can call it communitarianism or communism, whatever, but they're all isms. And we're not an ism form of government. And I personally think it's communism, because that is the education system being put in right now. It's clearly, you can check off every single thing for school to work, planned economy. That's what's going in. You know, so I went through that, and to be taught how to identify yourself is sort of an interesting experience. I thought, whoa, these people mean business. They little do they know I'm here, I'm here to be trained to identify myself. So you ask me, when these things start coming up, you know, at your local school board meeting or in your community, and they start, you know, taking elected officials away and merging towns with towns and dropping borders. I knew, because I'd been all over the world, I knew that this was communism. This is regionalism, and regionalism is communism. And I have all the documents on that, right? And so I'm happy I did get a hold of that article in the Communist Daily World, where a communist admits it. You know, in 1976, he said, we're moving too slowly on regionalism. It works so well in the Soviet Union. So that's what we're looking at, folks. And how can anyone turn their back on episodes like this unless they're part of the program? I mean, anybody. I always say divide and conquer. They want all of us, the left and, you know, of course, the left and the right at the top are the same. Absolutely. Their agenda is the same. But, you know, you have Democrats and you have Republicans, and they're good people, and they're going about their lives, and they truly do believe in a lot of things that I don't agree with. But we should not let that affect our relationships with these people, because we're all Americans, and we all have, you know, the Constitution and Bill of Rights were not written for just certain people. They were written for all Americans. I don't care whether they're black or white or green or handicapped or not handicapped or brilliant or rich or poor or what. Fat, thin? No. We've got to be very careful that we do not allow ourselves to be, you know, splintered and divided up, because that is the goal of those in power. I always call them the people on the 135th floor of Rockefeller Center. What do they talk about when they meet once a month? You know, they say, oh, well, they haven't yet figured it out. You know, figured what out? They haven't yet figured it out. The left and the right at the top are the same. They haven't yet figured it out yet that we're going to keep them all divided on issues like abortion and euthanasia and everything else. But have you ever noticed the sacred cow? There's a sacred cow there, and that's education. You don't hear much about education. You might hear about Common Core, but we've had that for many, many years. It's just a Marxist curriculum. Now it's very, you know, it's going to be able to be implemented without a hitch because of computers and assessment. But that's not the key issue. We've all been fighting the national assessment. ever since 1970. That's the Carnegie Corporation, which in 1934 said in the little blue book that we have, said, we'll use the schools to change America to a planned economy. And so that's exactly what, if you follow Carnegie all the way through with all of its funding of the Education Commission of the States, the National Assessment, the National Governors Association, the School to Work agenda, the agreements with the Soviet Union to develop computer courseware in critical thinking for early elementary school children, Carnegie, Carnegie, Carnegie. You know, so that's where we are right now. And so people who fuss about Common Core, and good, I don't blame them. Some of them are 20, 30 years old, a lot younger than I am. They don't know the history that we have. They don't understand anything about the fact that these decisions were made in the late 1800s. The method was brought over from Germany, from Leipzig, in the late 1800s by G. Stanley Hall, the Skinner-Pavlovian method. This was before the revolution, the Soviet revolution, the Bolshevik revolution. They don't understand that the order at Yale, I do believe, and it's weird that I happen to be connected with it. Weird's hardly the word. But yeah, I think that they probably are in charge of education, the order at Yale, if you have to pinpoint, because they brought the method in. And they also were involved in the early 60s. Now, it's not that I'm not opposed to integration by any means, but they needed integration in order to experiment on the minorities. And so you have the method coming in under with G. Stanley Hall, who was over studying in Leipzig, and but it was Gilman, the head of Hopkins, who brought Stanley Hall in, and then Dewey and all of them were trained in the Pavlov method, right? And they knew what they were doing. That was even prior to 1934 when Carnegie decided to change our economic system to a planned economy through the schools. This was all being planned. You know, Rockefeller was involved too, and Carnegie was involved too. But if you know the history, well, we've all said this, you know, that's why they don't teach history. I mean, if the American people knew the history behind the deliberate dumbing down of America and the destruction of their children's morals and values, they wouldn't say that, oh, Charlotte, you're a conspiracy person. Well, it is really quite an incredible conspiracy, I believe, that they managed to pull it off. With people, I mean, I think it's great, those guys up on the 34th floor. Congratulations. They've really done a good job. I mean, they must have read Bernays' Propaganda over and over and over again, and they've read Tragedy and Hope over and over again, and they've even read, I guess, Tony Sutton's books over and over and over again about the order. And so they're looking at all of us and saying, well, you know, we made it through another month. You know, we still got him on the conspiracy thing, and they've got everybody divided. And if anybody has the truth, they're a conspiracy freak. I mean, I'm sure you had that too. I used to be called a kook when I was on the local school board. The minute I identified what was really going on with my Marxist change agent, who actually he liked me a lot because he knew I knew what he was doing, and he was a rather nice person. But he used to lie about me all the time, and even though he admitted to people that he liked me better than anybody else in the town, because we just managed to get along. But I went after an interesting little thing in a global education textbook in 1973 where they had the teachers taking first graders through town and having them identify big houses and little houses. And then the teacher would say, who do you think lives in the big house, the big captain's house, the cupola, beautiful. And then in Maine, we didn't have zoning. Who lives in the house across the street, the mobile home? Oh, they must be poor people. Well, what do you think they eat in the captain's house? Steak. What do you think they eat in the mobile home? Pizza. And I thought, I've been around, I said, this is class warfare. They're starting it in first grade. So, hey, Common Core people, out there realize this has been with us a long, long time. And if we've got problems with Americans now who don't understand, it's because it has been so intensive and some multi-millions of dollars have gone into this kind of Marxist education. And so I went to the school board and I was very sort of naive. You know, I said, I don't understand this in this new global education textbook. What is this? I said, I don't like it. Oh, next day the word was out. I was a kook all over town. So that went on and on. Then I got into the department and you asked me why, you know, I like peanuts. A lot of people can't eat them anymore, but I like peanuts, any nuts, you know. It's like peanuts. You start getting into their own words. You know, like Benjamin Bloom. That's enough, isn't it, for people? I have a million folks. I like, one of the best ones is the computer guy, Dustin Houston. This is for parents. He's the head of the World Institute for Computer Assisted Teaching. Now, everything's on computers now, mom and dad. No more books. They're taking all the books out. All the charter schools are going in, get rid of the books, putting the computers in. And but Dustin Houston, he said this quite a while ago, about 25 years ago. I guess he's sorry he said it. He said, won't it be wonderful when the child in the most remote area of the world or the country can have the benefit of the world's finest psychologists on the computer, and nobody can get between that child and the curriculum. Now, all right, Common Core, that's bad news. That's what you're going to get with Common Core. And it's all Marxist curriculum, all comes out of UNESCO. If you go to Paulo Freire, the great Brazilian educator, communist, who wrote Pedagogy of the Oppressed, he has a perfect right to do this, but I don't know why we have to adopt it. But this is the kind of thing Common Core is putting in. You teach arithmetic to first graders. You have them counting little grenades. But that's not new. Because back in the 70s, the Carnegie Corporation funded a reading program for the inner city kids, again, inner city kids, and it was called Torch the Porch. Yes, and this was reading, you know, torch, and they have a picture of the torch and the porch, and they have to fill in the blanks. Torch the Porch. Now, isn't that Common Core? So we've had it for years, and those of us who've been fighting it, and I don't know how anybody, once they know what I'm talking about today, cannot fight it. It's just in your genes that when you see something like this that is so wrong, you know, even if you don't have children, and a lot of our researchers don't, they're great. And they've become, you know, day in and day out, they've done research. They've been speaking and writing, and of course, always boycotted. You know, I mean, Richard, everything I ever wrote was boycotted, not by the left, by the Trotskyite conservatives. Right from the beginning, everything I've written, Soviets in the Classroom, you know, America's Latest Education Fad, which dealt with Ronald Reagan signing the agreements with Gorbachev in 1985 to merge the two systems. It's a little flyer. Boycotted, until finally a really good guy who was one of them at one time in Washington, a true conservative, got a hold of it. He was the head of a group in Washington, and he published it 5 years after the fact because they wouldn't go near it. And then my little book, Back to Basics Reform, which is on my website, free download, and you can also buy it at Amazon now, Back to Basics Reform or Skinnerian International Curriculum, necessary, this is on the front, necessary for United States participation in a one-world socialist government plan for the early years of the 21st century. I wrote it in 1984, and it had everything in it that is going on right now, all documented from the first development of standards and goals at the Northwest Regional Lab in 1970, where they said right in there, and that's in Back to Basics. People really ought to go get that book. They said right in there that there will be no content because like things change so fast. And so what do? Oh, we just change values. So that is in 1970. That was the first development of real standards for American education out of the Northwest Regional Lab. And so what do the conservatives do? They boycott that little book that warned. Oh, I really warned people about global education. I warned them about the horrible critical thinking, which is Paulo Freire and the Brazilian and Marxist stuff. Everything was in there. Even the Dustin Houston quote, I think. And Ted Bell, all the quotes on effective schools, everything. And people can get it. They can buy it now. We just ran a new run on it. It's been republished at Amazon. Or it's a free download at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. So when you see these things, and I probably never would have recognized the role of the order if it hadn't been for in 1984. I was working on Phyllis Schlafly's book, Child Abuse in the Classroom, and helping with that. That's how we got our regulations to protect the children. We finally did get regulations. And I was talking to Anthony Sutton. I guess I've always been concerned with communism. And he was too, obviously. Look at all the books he wrote about USA to the Soviet Union and the Skull and Bones and everything else. And a marvelous man. And so one day, I was taking care of my dad at home. He was dying of cancer, and my father heard all these conversations going on with Phyllis Schlafly. Poor guy, we put his bedroom next to the kitchen, and the phone was in the kitchen. And Sutton called, and we were talking about something, and he said, "I can't figure this out, Charlotte. I've got mountains and mountains of research. And there's just got to be something big behind all of this. And I don't know what it is." Well, luckily, just that day, my father had received these three books, the membership of the order. And I was opening all his mail because I was taking care of him. And I had never seen these three black books, and they have the dates. It says catalog on it, and it has the dates of the living ones and living and dead, and another one. What's the third one? I don't know. But anyway, I saw them, and I took them into my father, and I said, "Well, I don't know, Dad. Look at this, all this stuff from the order." And he said, "Wow." He said, "They never did that before." And I didn't pay much attention, but when Sutton said that to me, I said, "You know, my dad just received the membership list of the order." And he said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah." I didn't know that it was something so unusual, really. And he said, "Could I have?" And then, you know, and he said, "I promise you, I will get them back overnight." And he did. He went to, Kinko's. And then he called me the next day after he put all the books, because it's not just their names. You know, each one is given about 2 inches of text on what they've done, where they came from, whatever. And so anyway, he sent them back to me, and he told me that this was it. He said, this is the answer. I finally have got it. And I know exactly what he means. I mean, I'm not involved that much politically with understanding, aid to the Soviet Union. I've read a lot about this stuff, but he was a real expert. I was rather expert on education. And I do remember my father, who was not important in the order. You know, he was in the order, but his friends were. Some of them were very high up. But Dad was a constitutionalist, mayor of our town, 2 towns, and he would get very upset if anybody ever pulled regionalism on him or anything like that. But one day he said to me, "Char," he said, "you know, you're a very good writer, but I don't know that I like so much what you're writing about." And I thought, you know, I don't understand what he's talking about. But mom said, "We all adored him. He's a wonderful man, a New York lawyer." And my mother said, you know, she was from the South, conservative from Virginia, right? She said, "You know, your dad, I never know what side of the bed he's going to get out of in the morning, the communist or the conservative." See, that was the order that had done that to him. He was really very conflicted But when it came to being a wonderful person and a great father and everything, he was fantastic. And at the end, though, when he died, he looked at me and he said, he'd heard enough of my talking to Phyllis and Nancy Sutton and all. And he said, Char, if I had more time, I'd help you. So he evidently, I think he got the message. But so I must say, I'm not the great expert on the order. I am, you know, as far as, you know, Chris Milligan, you probably know Chris Milligan. Well, you know, he wrote this great book here. I think people can see it, Fleshing Out Skull and Bones. And I did a chapter in there for Chris. And it's a very personal chapter. It doesn't have anything to do with politics, really, except it does have a little bit. Well, this one is the one that has. This one here, Anthony's book, Sutton. There's a good little story here. I just had my eyes operated on, so I really can't read very well, but I'm going to read this to you because this fellow, Matheson, E.O. Matheson, Skull and Bones, 1923, my dad went to Hotchkiss with him, so they knew each other. And he was also a member of the order, Matheson and my dad, right? I want to read this to people because I'm so glad that maybe Chris Milligan made Anthony put this on the book cover. I'm really glad he did because it's easy for me to find. This is for people who may think the order, oh, you know, it's just another little boys club. And, you know, was it George Bush? He says, oh, it's so secret, I can't talk about it or whatever. And Jack Kerry, those two running for, how about, that's a good one too. How do you ever end up with two guys, Kerry and Bush, running for president of the United States when you've got 300 million people and they're both members of the order? Okay, so that's good. But let me read this. This quote says, quote, as long as we have somebody from Bones who can bring pressure on the committee, I should think we'll be all right, end quote. And this is my father's friend, E.O. Matheson, Skull and Bones, 23, to Donald Ogden Stewart, Skull and Bones, 1916, a lot older, about Marty's upcoming appearance before the House Committee on Un-American Activities. Now, it's funny what happens in life. When I got to Camden, I was taking all these radical stop it moves, give us academics, stop the values destruction, stop this, stop that, stop all death ed, sex ed, all these programs that were designed to do just the opposite, right? And I have the proof on that out of the guidance counselor's journal. They actually admitted that all these programs were to do just the opposite. But here, so I'm not very popular in Camden. So it was around Christmas time. I went to this lovely Christmas party. It was snow outside, the moon and all. I went with my husband. His daughter, Matheson's daughter, lived in my town. Yeah. And so we'd sort of gotten to know each other socially because her father and my father were friends. But she did not like me. And so we're all having a lovely time, the Christmas tree, and just so festive, and snowflakes. And she comes up to me. She's had a bit. And she said, why do you make so much trouble in this town? And I said, Mary, what do you mean? On the school board. Why are you always voting no? Do you really think you know better than the superintendent? And I said, well, yeah, I do. I think I do know, and I know him very well. And he probably knows I know better, too. And she kept going after me, and I started to cry. See, it was in public. She was really destroying me. I got up. I left the party. And this is for people who think we all enjoy this so much. At least eating peanuts is enjoyable. But what we do day in and day out, all across the country, people like myself, going up against it is not much fun. And so I left the party and I walked back in the snow. It's a funny story how it ends. It has nothing to do with politics. I go in the house and my two sons, like 14 and 15, are sitting in the kitchen and there's all the smoke. They're smoking cigarettes. Mom's gone. I'll never forget. I said, well, you know, only something like that could bring me out of this horrible evening that I've had. You guys, now put those cigarettes away and no more of that. But I remember that so well, that she really just couldn't resist going after me. And she was just one person out of many. This went on for 20 years in Camden. That's why I wonder how many people in your audience realize that there have been these Americans out there, better than myself in many cases, and suffering same way, having the same media blackout, who are responsible for the fact that you and I are able to communicate tonight on Skype and that we still have lots of freedom left. We do. And people, they'd love us to think that we're about to go down. I don't go for that stuff of, you know, get out in the streets and they're going to bring the military in and we're going to, I just don't go there because I think they want us to go there to get us terrified and to turn against each other because one person wants to go there, the other doesn't, and keep us all occupied like that while they make this huge effort to conclude their agenda. Now, I think that their agenda, they never could have done it without education. There's no question about that. And that's why we have this project, which we can talk about later, exposing the global road to ruin through education. That's at YouTube. That we have a trailer on that. But in putting all of this research together with about 20 of us, leading researchers out there in the country, some have been around since, as I said, the 60s, Rosa Corey is on one of them, and we've got four public school educators, one principal, public school, and we have about 250 pages of very, very important written submissions from people who are either no longer with us or couldn't join us for the two conferences that were covered. And when in 1976, they had the Declaration of Interdependence in Philadelphia. And that was this, and folks, I just want to point out that what I'm saying now relates to the fact that I think they're behind time. I think they're very much behind time because of people like you, Richard, your audience, all these great Americans that came before. The media never gave them any coverage, so you don't know who they were or anything, but they have kept it from happening. And I think that probably the latest that they expected they'd have to wait was 1990 when George Sr., you know, the Gulf War, when he said the big speech about the New World Order. I think that was the latest. I know that Henry Steele Commager, who drafted the Declaration of Interdependence, which called for a world government, signed by 126 members of the United States House of Representatives in 1976, and we think the guys are bad now? I think right at that point, they were probably all Democrats. Now you'd have 100, you know, you could probably double it because you got the Republicans on board. But that was a very important milestone right there, which showed they were ready to move. And Commager, they also put together this curriculum for globalism, and the NEA did it. By the way, NEA at the top is in bed with David Rockefeller. I have all those documents from the NEA cardinal principles that leads that state that the NEA, when they did this cardinal principle project, in the back they have the pre-planning committee, and at the top they have David Rockefeller and McGeorge Bundy. Now, who would ever dream that the National Education Association, which one thinks of as being a leftist teachers union that hates kids and all that, and they're not. Because most of the teachers in the union have to be there, and they don't hate kids, and they're not leftists, and they don't know anything about David Rockefeller running the NEA, right? So anyway, that curriculum, it's sort of, I don't know how well they did with it, but we don't get any media coverage, as I said before, but think back just 5 years to North American Union controversy, remember? Lou Dobbs, fantastic at CNN. They got rid of him and others. And Americans, they made a big mistake up on the 135th floor there. They thought we were ready for that. And by golly, they found out we were not ready for that. And they made a big mistake because the media, and then everybody, all of us jumped on board. No, we don't want that. We got all our newsletters out and all, and it went underground. You don't hear much about it anymore. That doesn't mean they're not busy. But the point I'm trying to make is that they're behind schedule. And I think we've got at least 10 years and maybe 20. But all of that, 20 years could disappear overnight if, like, a constitutional convention is approved. They're waiting for the conservatives to get us into a constitutional convention. And they probably talk about that up there too. Gee, they say, well, it's great. We don't have to do it. We just leave it up to the neoconservative Trotskyites. They're going to do it for us. They're going to have something like a parents' right, you know, constitutional convention to approve the rights of parents to bring up their children. Oh, everybody sign on, right? No, do not go there. No constitutional convention. If there's anything that we have to avoid, like the plague, it's the constitutional convention. And they're close to getting it. And I don't know how many votes short. Because if they get that, forget the 20 years we've got. Because then Carnegie will have its way. And as it said, we'll take your land. In the little blue book, it says that Americans are going to get sort of upset, you know, when their land is taken from them. That's in the book. The words are there. This is the book that talks about using the schools to change America. And so that's why I keep after it. And also, you know, you got to realize that I'm probably a little bit, anybody who does this for so long becomes so accustomed to doing it that I don't know what I'd do if I didn't do it. Although I like to paint. Everybody keeps saying, they say, Charlotte, you have all these boxes of oil paints and canvases. And when are you going to go back to painting? And I think, well, maybe in my next life. I don't know. But I hope that what I've said here helps people understand that you have to. It's something in the human nature that God gave us. We know it's right to do it. You know, you have right and wrong. And if you don't do it, it's wrong. Because there are generations, and our form of government too, which is so superb. I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of people came to this country to benefit from what they're taking away from us right now? And how many thousands of servicemen have died on the shores of foreign countries in no-win wars to protect what you and I and others are fighting to hold on to? And this is something, this word has got to get out to Americans that we can't let this system go. The rest of the world is depending on us too, not to let it go. And they don't realize, certainly in education, the rest of the world does not know that the United States basically is responsible for the dumbing down of the whole world. I saw all the grants and contracts in my office in the Department of Ed. Awful, going all over the world to implement OBE, outcomes-based ed. Wim Spady ended up in South Africa. John Goodlad was in Thailand in the 60s, trying to get the Thais to give up their classical education. So the United States has been deeply involved, and I apologize, you know, in the project we did, I apologize. But we put that behind us, and let's now try to save the ship from going down, because when we go, the rest of the world goes. And we've made it so that they're ready to go anyway, because they have the same curriculum, the same outcomes-based education, the same Marxist curriculum. And most of these countries are socialist anyway. Some are communist. We're the only, I believe, we're probably the only constitutional republic, unless they've got one little one somewhere in Africa or something. So we have a system that is so beautiful. And the proof of that is the fact that everybody's come over here to get away from the one that they're trying to put us under. What are we doing? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But doesn't anybody think about it? Or is it that the lack of history? Our young people, and not so young anymore, they don't really understand that there was another way, and that the family came first, and that the schools, and I'm a public school supporter, actually, even though I wrote that big book, but I am very much of, in fact, right now, I think, can't believe what I'm going to say, but I actually have had to make a decision and make a recommendation on our project, and I have the other researchers on board with me, which is good, that we are having to come down on the side of public education, as bad as it is, versus the school choice proposals, because they, not only are they bad, they're lethal, because they will destroy our representative form of government. And people may wonder, what does that have to do with it? It has plenty, because the charter schools do not have elected boards. And the charter schools are the same as public schools, identical. The only difference is they are run by unelected councils. And that is the Soviet system. And if any of these private schools, or the Catholic Church right now, it's a disaster, they are accepting the program that I talked about earlier in Chicago that Benjamin Bloom's wife was involved in, and the man who was the major person involved in that, his name was Lee Shulman. Not only after that disaster, what he was, instead of being fired forever, what he did, they promoted him. He went to Stanford to develop the teacher performance-based teacher certification. And then when Ernest Boyer at the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching died, they made him president of the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching. This is the guy that was responsible for half the inner city kids going down the tubes with Skinner and the program that's going in across the country now. No grades, all that I was talking about earlier. Now, I wonder, I keep following him, and I didn't know where he was, but I just found out from a great researcher, she's Catholic, she's doing all the research on the Common Core going into the Catholic schools, and she has sent letters out to all the bishops with all her massive brief on Common Core. And so she said, oh, Charlotte, did you say Lee Shulman was involved in the Chicago Mastery Learning disaster? I said, yes. And she said, oh, he's working with the Catholic hierarchy, the Catholic Education Association, this is how many years later? 50? To put the Common Core in with his little touch. This is the guy responsible for half the inner city kids dropping out in Chicago that is now working with the Catholic Church. So, you know, when what goes around comes around. I mean, it just is, it's really unbelievable. If you stay with it long enough, you see all the connections. And of course, I haven't mentioned, you know, a lot of it. I've mentioned Gates and, you know, Walmart and all these other groups and Pearson Publishing. They're all going to make hundreds of billions of dollars off of the charter school system, right? And with the computers and this and that. But the charter school, acceptance of charter schools versus the traditional public school, hierarchical, with competition K through 12, 4 years math, science, all this stuff, we cannot accept it. Now, I'm not saying that the public school should not be cleaned up, is hardly the word, destroy it and restructure it, right? We can't allow it to be destroyed. And Gerstner, Lou Gerstner, of former head of IBM, I think, he called on Obama this year. He did it 5 years ago, too, in the Wall Street Journal, pulled down all 16,000 public school districts. Now, that is absolutely outrageous. Now, even if you can't stand the public school system, ask yourself why. Because the corporations, they don't want locally elected boards. And the public schools still have locally elected school boards. And that is a segment of the economy, number two, after defense, the biggest. And if we allow that segment of the economy to be run by unelected boards, Folks, think about it. All the money that you pay for education, and you will have no say whatsoever. If your child is in a rotten program or comes home and there's been damage or one thing, I don't care what, you have no one to go to complain. Right now, you know, sure, your first grader has got horrible sex ed or something. You still have the right to go in there and beat up on the principal or somebody. Maybe they won't listen to you, but you still have that right. So do not let that happen, because once it happens, Americans are just going to say, and I don't blame them, they're going to say, well, you know, if the second largest spending entity in the country doesn't have elected boards, why do we need elected commissioners? Why do we need elected selectmen? Why do we even need our state legislature? And then we're gone. And that's the message, basically, that our project is very much focused, and with history, like I've given you today a bit, on holding on to the public school system. And now she's going to say, they're going to say,
okay, everyone, get ready to go to a commercial break. It was a lot that was said. I definitely want to rehash some of the things that was said. We're going to get ready to go to a commercial break. It was a couple of things that were that I want to hash with you guys and see what you guys think, and I'll bring my own take to it all. There were some very, very poignant things that were said. One was the Rockefeller Foundation, once again. Then she just talked about something that was very, very important. I call it the Uber effect. And I use that Uber effect so that people can understand, because a lot of people have used Uber. With Uber, there's no one that you can call and complain to at all. It's all through email. It's all through, that is what exactly what she was talking about. Then there was the Constitutional Convention that was going to be called. Well, Governor Abbott of Texas has called for a Constitutional Convention. Then I don't know if you heard where she said through the secret societies, and I just call them the devil's lair or the den of thieves, instead of giving them this term of endearment, the den of thieves, where they really got, and they had to put in some people that have some rights. And I don't know if you realize where they really got those rights from a republic style. She said it, from Africa. Very, very true. That's where the person, the freedom, the liberties and the freedoms actually came from there. And it's so, so important, because there was another thing that she said, was that the people, land would be taken from them, from someone else that they don't know. That was a common thing of Thomas Jefferson. I can't remember the quote right now. He said, basically, if they're given the tyranny, their land be taken from, their father's land will be taken from people that they don't know. I can't remember exactly what it is, but the importance of that is that who was here first? So we often always think that it was actually the Judeo, the Anglo-Saxon white Judeo-Christians that are the basis of America. No, it's not. The land was stolen from people that they didn't know. Who was originally here? They were Africans. They were Africans. And so it was just so many things. And of course, talking about Common Core, talking about the phones, very, very important. There's a lot that's there to it. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely jump in on it. 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#. Then hit *61, and we'll bring you up. Definitely so much to hash out here. And it's really important, because it speaks of one component for the directions of things. And this was done a little while ago, but it actually, what was being said, actually you could start to see it taking place now in so many ways. And like she said, they got a 20-year plan. Unless they start doing these things, that means that the time is right. They positioned themselves to do it. And I'm going to tell you how they, in my opinion, how they were able to do it. It was because of smartphones and other technology that's being used against you. You listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren. And Gay Day from LA, when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. You listen to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick promotion, these quick commercial breaks.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. And if you'd like to get on the conversation, don't hesitate. Definitely call, because I know there was a lot of things that you heard that other people may have missed, or your insight on this is so, so important. So definitely give us a call. Because this is a very, very important subject. And it's, you know, I'm just going to start with it, because I laid out a couple of things before we went to the commercial break. But I just want to lay out this, that there's always been an agenda, and I don't like the word conspiracy theory, because there is no theory. The word conspiracy is correct, but there's a conspiracy agenda that this needs to, that what we're really dealing with, and we've always have been dealing with it. And this conspiracy agenda is targeting our young people. Look at all of the mass intrusions on parental rights that have been taking place just in the past 5 years. And why is that? And I believe that that is because of smartphones, because with the background radiation and the Wi-Fi and all of those harmonic signals that interfere, and all of the cell phone towers and everything else, interfering with you as people, and then not only that, changing and altering your, what you accept as being relevant now. Everything is immediate. Everything is immediate, and there is no patience. There is no real reason to wait and to learn different things and to think things out. Everything has to be responded from off of instinct. We have instinctive decisions and information and ways that are being sent to us. Yes, we are instinctive, but our instinct should be governed by our thoughtfulness, our ability to be able to reason, our ability to be able to comprehend. And what is the base of comprehension? The base of comprehension is where you have great education, not schooling, but education, because there is a marked difference between schooling and education. Education is what you're repeating, what you've been told in class, which, because what happens in these schools is that they do not teach these young people to develop their inner talents, to nurture their inner talents, and to be independent, and to be free thinkers, and to be able to develop themselves in a path and in a way that is unique and powerful. What they do is they practice through schooling is collectivism. This is why when you want to have, there's something called obedience school for animals. There's no difference. There's a reason why there's a school there. You don't see obedience education. Big difference. We got a caller in queue. Let's go to this caller real quick. Very important. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment?
Hey, peace, peace. What's up, Dave? Brad, man.
Peace, peace, brother. Brad, what's going on? How you feeling, brother?
All right, man. I woke up today. As long as I wake up, it's a good day.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? We wake up every day. Go ahead, brother Brad.
Hey, listen, man. I was listening to that. Listen, I tell you, I've been tripping on the chemtrails. I sent you someone that today, too, but check it out. The chemtrails are to slow you all the way down. And if you're aggressive, it'll make you like lethargic. It's the control of the left region and the right region in your brain.
Right.
These chemicals also, I don't know what's in them. You know, because I seen some weird stuff this last snow. I burned some snow with a cigarette lighter.
Yeah, that's it was me you telling me last Friday.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen, so.
No, of course not.
I don't know what they're up to. It's no good.
Yeah.
No good for anybody, because you know what? You got to realize if this stuff is falling on you, you ingest it through your pores. I know it causes respiratory problems and it causes brain problems. You know, they're finding this out because just remember that it's heavy metals.
It's heavy metals, exactly.
And we don't know, you know what's we know the origins, but we don't know what they are specifically. Then you might be breathing DNA from other people or monkeys or animals. You know, you dig what I'm saying? So you don't know.
Yeah, of course. And you know, it's like you said, the heavy metals, and we already know what heavy metals does to the body. It's a toxin to the body. It takes it's out of its normal functioning practices. And then remember, a lot of this from the chemtrails, they're coming through the upper atmosphere. And what is in the upper atmosphere now is from the radiation from Fukushima.
Exactly.
We always seem to forget Fukushima. And that
is Fukushima.
No, I know.
Fish on the beaches, thousands of fish, urchins, crabs, seals. Man, these animals are dying. Now, they're not playing it on the news anymore. For a minute, they were showing flashes, but now, like you're saying, it's kind of a secret. They're not publicizing because it's doing some hell of a damage.
Right, right. And I was talking about you, Brother Brad, because I know, because we talk. But I'm talking about us as the general population where we do ask the right questions. Because I'm going to tell you, Brother Brad, because I know you know, instead of us reading and knowing history and having a library like you do, what we do is we have a phone that's in our hand and we have our heads down in it. How many people, just watch tomorrow, watch how many people you see with their heads down into their phone. What happens there? Whatever you give attention to, you can be manipulated through. And that's where this manipulation is really, really, really propelling in this whole thing. And then with the radiation and everything else, this is why now would be the perfect opportunity for them to call the Constitutional Convention, which they already have. Well, go ahead, Brother Brad. So I know you wanted to say something more. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about the way that they're using this, because, you know, now, on the other side of this coin, I was reading a thing either yesterday or early this morning. Putin is raising heck with these boys because they've been spraying over Syria and they've been spraying over African countries. And he's getting ready to take them to task about this because he says they're germicidal warfare against his people.
Right. Right.
So I was surprised that he's up on it like that, but he's adamant. And he says he's going to beat the Illuminati. His exact words was in the article I was reading that he's going to defeat the Illuminati.
Right, and so that's what's really going on. As you know, that's a hair's trigger away from going into a shooting war globally through NATO, through Eurasian countries, and Ukraine, Poland, and Georgia, that area, and then also in the Middle East, in Syria, and that whole place is a counter peg, and it's really speaks volumes as to where we are. I believe that we have, going to see some major, major events pretty soon here that is going to try to perpetuate their agenda even more because the people were right. They've had Common Core. Look at what Common Core has done to our young people. It's totally, totally, totally put them off balance. And it's important to get people off balance because of this. When people are off balance, what do they always do? They reach for support because that's
charter schools, private schools, here they're magnet schools, private schools, and wherever they had schools that were performing real high, they broke those schools up. And they started supposedly charter schools, which are supposed to be better. And then the communities, a lot of times, the communities weren't the best communities, but the schools was all right. Now, you're stuck in a community with no school, with a poor education.
This is the thing. It's a conspiracy agenda. That is what we're dealing with. Hey, hold on, Brother Brad. We got another caller. Thank you. Hold on 1 second. Don't go anywhere. Welcome, caller, to Tango Radio Show. What is your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question or comment? Hello, caller? 717. Area code? Okay, whenever you come back on, we'll go back to Brother Brad. Caller on 717 area code. Just come up whenever you can. I'm going to leave your line open. Brother Bragg, so it's this whole thing, and as you start to do your own investigation, and one of the things that I played that was because I wanted people to see that when you start to go on this route with things, you are not going to make friends. You're just going to stir enemies. You know, and there's a lot of you that have started on this journey, and a lot of people think about doing it, but because they've been so indoctrinated to their safety in numbers, when that is a lie. There is no such thing as safety in numbers. Only thing that there is in numbers is corralling in numbers, and they purposely do that. So, you know, there were so many things that she said that I wanted to touch on, and I really want to touch on real quick when she talked about the integration.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there we are. Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
I apologize, brother. I'm trying to get some new equipment hooked up so that I can bring clarity to the message. But listen, I wanted to comment in reference to what you said about charter schools. Now, don't get me wrong. Charter schools can be a good idea if we initiate them, we administrate them, and we utilize the dollars for a African-based curriculum. Now, the reason why I say that is because we're still going to have to meet the state standard. But yet, if we control the curriculum, we could teach them what they need to use, the tools that they need in order to become better people. You see, when we went to school, they taught us how to read. And the reason why they taught us how to read was because they were forced to. They didn't do that on purpose. But the fundamentals of education is reading. If you could teach a child to read at an early age, you open those doors to a phenomena of information that Brother Bragg reflects all the time. And that's only because he uses that tool of reading and comprehension to the degree that now he's taking what he's learned and can articulate it, and that's what makes knowledge power. And another thing I wanted to add was, while we're on this here subject, that Wednesday's show is going to be on organizing self. And that means all of the things that we've talked about together, how you as an individual can literally offensively and defensively use it to your advantage. But once again, brother, it's a great show. I'm always listening, and y'all be blessed.
All right, Brother Davis, thank you. So, you know, and Brother Davis was so true there when it says this is all about developing the individual, because that's what they want to get you away from. They don't want you to be an individual thinker and to be one that insists and to live in a self-determining way. They want you to just... They don't want you to think. They want you to obey. And it's so, so important that we understand what that is. Go ahead, Brother Brack.
Out of everything, Dad, remember this. What they fear most is your intelligence. If you tap into your intelligence, you become a threat. That's collectively, on a collective level. And believe me, everything that you see before you, it came out of the mind, out of the conceptualization of a mind, of a black mind. Let's not make any mistake. Let's not pitter-patter around. All the stuff, everything you use, even flying, that stuff was on the walls and the temples of the Egyptians. They had all of this stuff. And listen, check this out. They can't take it any farther than it is unless these black minds step forward and elevate.
So exactly, so true. You know, Brother Rags, before I forget, there was a sister that wanted to know the book that you were reading on Friday's show. If you remember, just let her know. Just if you could say it on air.
The Synagogue of Satan is by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
One more time.
The Synagogue of Satan from Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, and another book. A good follow book with that book would be The Chosen People from the Caucasus. And that book is by Michael Bradley.
Right. The Synagogue of Satan and the Chosen People of the Synagogue.
From the Caucasus. The Chosen
right.
People from the Caucasus.
Right.
And
that's
by
right.
Michael Bradley.
Right. So those were the books that Brother Braggs was referring and referencing from. And on Friday, which was so great. And you know, that's so true, Brother Wright, what you were saying is that it all comes from, and Charlotte mentioned that here, but she realized, because she's not stupid, she sends messages in different things, but because she realizes that people can't always handle the truth. And so just like she said, you know, where the freedom comes from, she said the only republic, the United States is the only constitutional republic, and there may be a few more, and it would be somewhere in, I think there's a few more somewhere in Africa.
Yes, purposely, these star babies are being born everywhere. If you just pay attention. We have so many star babies. I saw a baby this morning, a baby that's like 18 months that could speak like 7 languages. I saw another star baby, I believe she's 11 years old, she might be 12. She just graduated college and high school at the same time. We got a whole bunch of these black star babies being born. And it's really serious. That the other thing about those star babies, though, I would like to add, when you got an exceptional child, don't hand that child off to anybody. You have to give that child special consideration. You have to make sure that child is protected. That's a gift. You gotta nurture that pearl. You got to take real good care of that.
Right. I mean, that's something that you definitely
you have
to.
Star baby. Geez.
And this is what happens with the, you know, the star babies, and that if it be known, believe me, that child will be snatched up by some of the leading schools. They'll give that child $1 million to go to their school.
And flip him one. He will no longer be your child.
Exactly. They will give that child at a young age, at high school, or not even high school, middle school, even in elementary school, they will give that child, they'll give that parent and that child $1 million for a promise to go to their school. This is what they do. And like Brother Bragg said, you have to protect that child at all costs, because that child is so important. This is why you're starting to see part of the suppression of man's will, free will. And you're seeing it through the food, the GMO foods. You're getting synthetic foods put into a natural body. What is that going to do? Bring about a chemical imbalance, and that's going to affect the overall harmonic flow of that individual.
And Dave, another thing while you're on that point, another thing, we talk about food all the time. Check this out. The reason that they develop food without seeds, natural food with seeds in it, those seeds help break cancer down. They help fight cancer. By them modifying that food and taking those out, the natural protection that you were getting built in from your food, cancer-fighting properties, is gone with a GMO product. Check that out. Check gang.
Yes, and it's so many things, because it's you're giving the body, the natural body, a synthetic means, and then the capabilities of the body, because cancer is in everyone, but it will come, it can start to flourish when it's not held in check by your immune system and your overall body's ability to destroy it. And it needs to have the right nutrients, the right vitamins and the right minerals, and it has to be properly nourished and properly hydrated in order to do that. And that's just not drinking bottled water for hydration. You need to be drinking living water. It's so, so important. So, you know, with all of these things that's coming on, you know, it's all coming together right now, where there's going to be a major push. They've become so blatant about what they're doing now. They're even telling you that They're calling it. They'll have it in their speeches. They'll say it in different things. They'll even say it. Why? Because they realize where, from their psychological evaluation of people, they realize where they are on the on the spectrum. The moments, and now is a time where they realize that because of everything that they've been doing through the GMO foods, through the water, through the heavy metals, from the heavy metals saturations, to the radioactive isotopes, to the entertainment. See, they push so much entertainment in everyone's life, people can't be happy without entertainment. And that is just like anything else. We don't even realize that we get addicted to the food. We become addicted to the food. And that's exactly what's happening now. Yeah, go ahead, Rebecca.
You'll find about that TV, though, man. It seems that TV seems a hard thing. It's been like almost 4 years for me. Now, check it out. Once you get to reading stuff, looking at TV, you can almost look through things. It's no more fun because you see what they're up to.
But yeah.
As you look at things, you go analyze. See, that's how I analyze things too. I don't look at TV. I go through my books and I hear things on a radio, or I may hear some things like on your show and things like that. I take them to heart and I go investigate. A lot of times, I'm finding now, information. They're killing the books. They don't want paper books around anymore. They want to feed it to you through some kind of media. But the best information are out of the books. Because, see, remember, we couldn't read. We weren't allowed to read for a long time. Everything that they did, because they're egotistical, is in a book. All you have to do is break the book. And look, you'll love it more than a movie because it's more intricate when you get into it. It's just me. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I feel that people love it more if they read the book. I mean, you don't have to read the whole book. Read it to the point that you can't go any further and get another book and start and then come back to the book. I mean, there's many ways to do it, but what I do, if I'm in a book and they'll kick some knowledge that I'm not up on, I'll go to another source and find out the things that reinforce it, the foundation, because I like things from the bottom up. I like to know the foundation, how it came to be, and how it came to pass. Just like in some coincidental reading, I found out that in America, I believe it was George Washington, they were running a breeding farm over here. In America,
right?
These are fathers of your country. These conspirators, these traitors. Because on the real side, these boys were working for the British Crown, undercover. So they were undercutting the American thing. What they did, they were nobody where they came from. So they came over here and became nobility through the systems that they set up. It's kind of deep, man. I'm saying it's really interesting too.
Yeah, I'm like you, Brother Banks. With reading, it's so important because what it does, it allows me to go in my own space after what I'm reading and think about and start to ask questions. And it's amazing how different things start to come to you to substantiate and validate what you read. And it may be just another conversation from someone else, or something else may just happen to so-called coincidentally fall into your lap, but there are no coincidences. That's because I believe your harmonic spirit is being pushed out, and you're actually attracting that type of energy, and it's so apparent and is there. And one of the things you said that's so true is right now, and I wanted to say this about the smartphones. The smartphones have been in place to get rid of the ability for you to have hard text, because they want to totally get rid of all of the books. They want those books to be digital, and they want them digital on a electronic grid, so that anytime that grid can be virus ridden and taken out and wiped out. There are so many viruses that are being viruses that are being dispersed throughout the world in so many different ways and different forms. There's the electronic viruses, there are the bio viruses, there are some of the natural viruses that are present, and they're all are being used to attack you, because you are the most important individual on this planet. You are, and it's so important that we understand who we really are and what our real capabilities are, and we have to nurture those things, and it's so important. So yeah, the cell phones, the smartphones. Go ahead, Brother Banks. Brother Brad.
He was talking about Pablo's dogs. I don't know if you're familiar with it. He was breeding these dogs and the behavior of these animals. Just think what I'm saying. They're experimenting on us as cattle, as animals.
Right.
Our intelligence. You see what I'm saying? They have to dumb you down in order to be able to handle you like that. First of all, you must comply. So that means if you comply, that means you don't think out the box. Why must you comply? They're not complying,
right.
So why must you comply? You know,
right.
I'm just
right. Their agenda is to break you. Right. Their agenda is to break your free will and to get you to be docile and domesticated. That's what they're hoping.
That's
so
obedient to your sovereignty.
Exactly, Brother Bragg. Well, Brother Bragg, man, that's the end of the show. As always, love you so much, and let's catch up this week. Today was real hectic and crazy again for me. Wednesday will be too, but I'm gonna be free tomorrow and Thursday, Brother Bragg. So let's definitely continue to connect. Much love and much respect to everyone. Just want to thank you all for listening. Hopefully you learned something. It was so much. And they're pushing for the Constitutional Convention. We posted it here on Tando a while ago. And they have their old playbook. And once again, if you play by their rules, they will rule. Much love, much respect. And remember, before you ask for a blessing, make sure that to be a blessing. And it's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. We'll talk to you soon. God willing, peace.
Peace.
Peace, Eva, Brad.
All right. I'll hit you in the morning.
Okay.
Girl, you are rich, even with nothing. You know tenderness comes from pain.